very much, Wes Tuttle, who wasn't here tonight, so we didn't get the good little music to take us into our study. And let's open the Bibles to Revelation 13. It's good to have Judy Hoffman. Actually, it's Judith, but she prefers Judy. And so she said she could spell that easier. No. So it's good to have Judy here again tonight. We've had a lot of fun talking. And it seems to be impossible for me to get a lion to walk around my house. So I'll give up on him wanting to do that. Had a wonderful time with Dan and Pat Hill. They came in Sunday evening, and we spent part of Sunday evening and then all day Monday and then most of today, and going over everything and getting ready for Africa. I got me some shoes. I would never buy these shoes, I'll guarantee you, because they look dorky, but they're extremely comfortable. We wear them for everything, running, walking. This is only one pair of shoes. That's all they let me take, one pair. And we went to a place in the Allen Mall, the outlet mall, called Clark's. And so we drive up there, and it says England, from England. I said, why don't I just wait and buy them there? And he said, because they're cheaper here. And so got me some traveling shoes. Yes. All right. Well, I don't want them to know that, huh? As soon as I open my mouth, I'll put it all down to rest. Then we bought some slacks that, boy, they don't wrinkle, they don't get wet, they don't do any. I mean, they're just perfect slacks. So I bought three pair of slacks. And I got those on. He told me to wear my shoes all the time. So wear them to bed. Wear them all the time. Break them in. And got me a money belt to wear inside. And so I said, boy, you plan on me taking a lot of money if I got to wear a money belt. And then I got a little passport pouch for a little money to put inside the shirt up here that's easy to get out at the airports and walk. So that's inside. And, yeah, that'll be in here. This is just quick stuff up here. And all kinds of traveling stuff. Got a little bitty umbrella and just a little bitty thing. And so we worked out the clothes and things I can't take, things I can take, and laid them all out. And we had quite a time going through everything and thinking through everything. And then we spent today, a couple hours, just going through all the finances, figuring it out, how much money to take. And I'm going to take some disc. We're going to take, I'm going to take two or three MP3 players, and he's going to take four or five, because I showed him the one that I found at Best Buy, and it's really good. You can go backward, forward, pause, just like a tape recorder, and that's what I needed, something very simple, very good, and they got that in at Best Buy. So we got those, and brought a suitcase type thing that does have wheels, but it also, you can open it and wear it as a backpack if you have to. So you can, it's a check through, but it also, you can put it on and carry it. And Dan, the more we talk, where are you taking me that I may have to pack all this stuff? And we went through the entire trip of going to Zambia and all the things we're going to be doing and speaking and different things like that. And Zimbabwe, and just we had a good time laying out your trip, our trip, of taking the message. We talked a little bit about things that they know, that he assumes they know, and then what I'm going to do. Kind of went through a little bit of what I'm going to do. And I think if this works well with the pastors in Africa, when I get back, I will probably try to do maybe something like a 7-hour basics. that we can put on one disc and just have. And it'll start with Isaiah 28, just very basic stuff, and go through Job, the questions of Job, the questions of the Bible, and then the layout of the Bible answering that question. And so I'm going to use Africa. Dan really liked the way I laid it out, and so if it works well there, I'll probably come home and we'll do a basic series that we can put on one disc, Jim, and just have when people call or ask, just because I've asked that a lot. Where are we? Where? How do we think and differ from everyone? And we have to wear, I'll share this with you, only because you already laugh at me, but we have to, the two Sundays that we will be speaking to congregations, they're very much into coat and tie, which is kind of surprising. But the women dress up and real. So we're at the, we go to this shop over in the, he knew the shop in the Mills Outlet Mall, Mills Mall, over by the airport. And so we're in there, and I mean, I saw the most, these greatest, I guess the best thing would be a peach orange coat. It was just out of sight. And I like Dan. Dan just stands there. Okay. Pat goes, Herman, they will never forget you, and they will love you. You walk out and start teaching them with that, you will have them eating out of your hand. And and then I thought if I was talking with him, if I get it, I'll just leave it for the pastor. She said, oh, the pastors would love you if you just left that in a, like at a club, they could, different ones wear it if they're going somewhere that could wear it. And there was a guy from, I guess he may be like 35, and his wife, and he said, if my wife would let me wear it, I'd buy one like that too. And he was so funny. It was just funny interacting. And they said, yeah, you ought to buy that. And I said, yeah, but you're not wearing it. And I chickened out at the last minute. And I had the greatest tie that went with it. It was an off blue, but more, I mean, it was quite a. I mean, I think they'd love it. They'd love it if I left it. And Dan and Pat and I both agreed I couldn't wear it here, so I'd have to leave it.
Take it for a gift, or one of the pastors.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, well, if I take it here, I'll wear it. I mean, just two times, but she said, Herman, they'll love you and they'll never forget you. And they'll never forget what you said, wearing that coat. And so, but we had a good time. Be in prayer for Dan, Pat, his church, our church. Be in prayer for the trip to Africa, the speaking. People, we're just going to get an opportunity of a lot of speaking to pastors. And it's going to be really challenging. Learned some more about Stuart. And how those of you that remember Stuart, just a super fun guy, but Stuart's got so involved in doing so many things, he's kind of let this drift by the side. And so we're going in to try to encourage and get him going back into good momentum. And so we're really looking. He's gotten a couple of emails from the primary pastors in the two big cities that we'll be in, and they're really looking forward to our coming, and it just seems everything's on a go, and looking forward to it. So just be in prayer for the trip and the ministry of presentation of the gospel to the pastors. And so we'll cover a little bit more on that later. All right, prayer. We need to be in prayer for Tish Roisin, who is still trying to work with the cancer and in her body. Continue to be in prayer for Bill Hess as he continues to strengthen. It was so wonderful seeing Bill Sunday morning with his red suspenders and all. It was just, that was really, really wonderful. And he just smiled and laughed. You could tell he was doing so much better. And that was just wonderful. So let's continue to be in prayer for Bill Hess. Let's be in prayer for Nathan as he has to work now. They're going to apparently do a lot of work on his hand. Continue to be in prayer for Amber. And let's be in prayer for Hazel, all of our young people. And any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be in prayer. it's good having Judy with us, and whenever she is ready to go home, we'll be in prayer for a safe trip back home. But we're not going to pray you to go home yet, so you're stuck here. Just pray that no big cat gets you here in Dallas, and we'd hate for that to happen. So, okay, let's get ready for our Revelation chapter 13 and prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes to the things that He would have us to see and to understand in this great chapter. Let's pray. Okay, Father, You left us this information. We will not be here when this occurs. But we know from Paul's writing that all Scripture is for our edification, warning, exhortation, and orientation to our own life, what's important, what isn't important, time, eternity, how brief time is. Things we hold on so dear on earth really don't matter, and that's a long way to travel to get there. So we pray that Your Spirit will cause us to see what You'd have us to see, Father. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, chapter 13, we have the two primary players, two primary figures in the tribulation. We have the two beasts. In verse 1, we have the beast out of the sea of nations, and this is the Gentile ruler, dictator, or the revived Roman Empire, often called the Antichrist. Then we have, in the second half, in verse 11 and following, we have the beast out of the earth, or out of the land, actually. This is the dictator, or the ruler of Israel. He is the false prophet. He's known as the false prophet of Israel. And so we have the two beasts. But right now we are looking at the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. So let's quickly look. And he stood, we studied, we're up to verse 5. And he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. Now this has double concepts for us. First of all, we understand the sea. It's a place where the demons were cast at the end of the prehistoric war. So the sea is the place of their abode. And later on in Revelation, we'll see that there will be no more sea in heaven. And we understand why that's true. Having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were the diadems. We noted that how different that is from chapter 12, where the crowns are on the heads. But here they're on the horns. And on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. And we spent some time on all of these figures. He is like the Babylonian Empire, and his feet were those of like a bear. This would be equivalent to the Medo-Persian Empire, and we studied the various concepts of each of these things. And his mouth, like the mouth of a lion, that's the Grecian Empire, Macedonian Empire, Alexander the Great, his sudden attack and the fear. And the dragon gave him, the beast, the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of the heads of it who had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole world was amazed and followed after the beast. So we have political power combined with a religious power. He's going to have a religious, political power in one world. And last week we ended up noting this whole concept of one world government, how we're, the whole world is moving into that momentum right now. I told you about the Club of Rome, which is scientists and great thinkers all over the world are part of the Club of Rome, who have already put out a book or two on one world rule. And then there is the Heidelberg Group and another secret organization meeting for one world government. The trilateral group, there we have that one. So we have these groups that are already meeting, formulating one world government. And then we looked at the ploy that they're going to be using, things like the weapons of mass destruction. The world is going to be in fear of that. Nuclear war, the world's going to be in fear of that. Disease, so there's going to be that factor of fear. So we've got all these factors that are going to be used to put people all over the world into fear and to want a government that will bring in one government so that the countries can't fight with each other because there no one will make war. So look what it says. Verse 3, and I saw the heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, Satan, because he gave his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast. So we have worldwide religion. One world religion, one world rule. Who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? So the idea is going to be there will be no more war, so we've got to follow the beast. And he is going to be so charismatic. And women are going to flock after his leadership, only to be turned unbelievably against them by him. Then verse 5, and there was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for the 42 months was given to him. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now let's go ahead and read, even though we haven't covered it, just so you can see it. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God. He's got to bring God down. Got to bring God down, de-emphasize and undeify God and his name and his tabernacle. That is who dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. That's all believers on earth, Jew and Gentile. And to overcome them, overwhelm them. And authority over every tribe, Jewish tribe, people, that's nations, tongue, or people is race, tongue, various nations. And nation was given to him. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. All will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life. And we've got to correct the translation there. That's incorrect. So, what I want to do tonight, by way of introduction, let's turn to Daniel 7, please. Let's get a grip on another view of what we just read. And please, as I teach this, you get questions, raise your hand, or a small group, or family, we can just talk. Dan said in Africa, they will just, you'll be talking, they'll raise their hand, they'll talk, ask questions, and I love that. Okay, Daniel 7, and what I'd like us to do is start reading together in verse 23. Daniel 7, 23. So I'm going to read it slowly. And this isn't exegetical study. This is orientation to this passage. And when I get back from Africa, there's going to be a great amount of time that we will have in planes, in airports, in driving 6 hours in a van across nothing land. If it was beautiful, we could just take pictures and all that, but it's just, he said it's nothing. And all of this, so what I'm planning on doing, he's going to take a couple of, but he doesn't play gin, so he can't play gin with him. And so I'm going to take the text, and I'm just going to put together Daniel and try to do it where we can do one chapter a night in Daniel and go through it so that we have a grip of Daniel under our belt and seeing this. But let's just look at Daniel 7 right now. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. Now, this is talking about the revived Roman Empire. This is talking about how it would be the most powerful of all the beasts. Verse 24, as for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, Rome, 10 kings will arise. And another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones, and will subdue three kings. The beast that we've just read in Revelation 13 is what we're talking about here. He will be different because, people, Satan will be giving to him all Satan's power. Satan will be personally giving to this man all of his power. He will have unbelievable demonic power given to him by Satan, possessed by Satan himself, as it were. He will have unbelievable charismatic presence, political and religious. Now, apparently in verse 24, best we can do with it, and that's what I'm going to do in Revelation and in Daniel, people. I'm not going to make things we can't say. You listen to some teachers on prophecy, and they tell you exactly what it is. People, they don't know. Let's just be honest what we can do. But apparently, there will be three nations who will resist him when his first starts coming into power. They may be three Western nations, United States, Great Britain, Germany, something like that. I don't know. They may be three Eastern countries. They may be, I would love it, if one of them was Australia, who already resists the Muslims and everybody else. I could just see them saying no. And he would have to go and crush them. We don't know, but that gives you an idea of what he's got to do. But he's going to put down every resistance. Verse 25. And he will speak out against the Most High. Now, what did we just read in Revelation? He will be speaking against God. He will speak out against the Most High. See, if I had my PowerPoint, I'd put them both right up here, and you could see how what we're looking at. Speak against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. Now, wearing down means to oppress. He will oppress, wear down the saints of the Highest One, Jesus Christ, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, a year, dual, the next is a Hebrew concept of times, dual, 2 years, and a half a time, half a year, that's 3.5 years of the tribulation. Okay, very quickly, verse 25, the beast from the sea, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, commonly known as the Antichrist, will spend time speaking out against God, against his son Jesus Christ. Now, it is interesting, historically, how people want to build themselves up, build their own religion up. They will, very carefully, the smarter they are, tear down God, tear him down, and at least minimize the importance of God and our Jesus Christ. And throughout history, many do this by just reducing Jesus Christ to a prophet, to a teacher, to just a super wonderful person that we ought to imitate, but not deity, and not God, and not the Son of God, just a wonderful person. So what you do is you take down God, and as you do that, you can build yourself up as God, which the dictator will do. And that's what's happening. Dan asked me some questions. So, now, I want to tell you what I'm doing as an illustration. I'm not saying this is what's going to happen, but it's so easy to see how it will be worldwide. What people are growing almost every day in following around the world? What people? Muslims. So if we have Muslims in every country around the world who do not recognize Jesus Christ, we can see how easy it would be for every section of the world to have a mass of people ready to praise the false, the dictator of the divided Roman Empire. Already in place, already against Christ, already against Jesus, already against Christianity, and so we can see how this will happen. Now he's got to oppress them. People, this is very simple, because it's starting to happen today, to that you're a Christian. I just feel for all of our young people in school, elementary, junior high school, college, who want to live a Christian life today. Everything's against it. But you have to realize, if you're going to do what the beast wants to do, there are two groups of people you have to get rid of. You have to get rid of Jews, because as long as there are Jews, there is a remembrance that God has a covenant with them, that God has a promise of their future. And you've got to get rid of Christians. You've got to get rid of them. It's like, and there's a third group that don't pick up the momentum of Jews and Christians, but you just got to get rid of free-loving people, people that love freedom, people who love guns and have guns in America, people like the people in Australia. That's what I think those three countries are. Those three countries, whatever they are, they're probably countries that have freedom-loving people, that you don't want to mess with them. As long as Americans are armed, it's going to be very difficult to do anything with Americans. But all you have to do is take away the guns, take away all of this, and you slowly subdue them, oppress them. So those are the kinds of people you've got to get rid of. You don't have to worry about people, oh yeah, whatever, do it, oh, for the sake of peace, let's do this, and just don't think, and we'll give it all up. And America's getting more and more of those kind of people. And the world is. And so it's going to be very easy for him to do these things. But it's interesting to, in history and today, you got to just bring God down, de-emphasize God, as we're doing in America, and then you start increasing your own importance and the importance of whatever religion you have. So then you'll note that along with degrading God and Jesus Christ, he will also attack those who believe and follow the Most High. The Hebrew word for wear down means to oppress. Economically, socially, health. He'll kill many. I remember Gary Horton used to have this little saying. He would say, if they were shooting Christians, would they shoot you? Would they even know that you're a Christian? And they're going to get rid. You got to think the way he thinks. The enemy are anyone who has the norms and standards of a Christian. And they got to get rid of that. You are a threat to society. What is interesting here is that he is going to be religious, a religious leader. Religion, de-emphasize God, Christ, attack the believers, but he will be forming a worldwide religion with him at the head. And this is why the true understanding of God, Jesus Christ, believers, got to be eliminated. And I hate to do this to you, but we've got to talk about history, because these things are not new to us. The Roman Catholic Church. The Pope just said last month, only Catholics are saved. So you can kind of get that concept of boy, it's our religion. And then, of course, you got the Muslims. And what is their big deal? In their Quran, kill, and I've given you the paragraphs, I've given you the quote, the verses in the Quran, kill infidels. Who are infidels? By the Quran, Christians and Jews. And yet, the Muslim religion is considered a great religion in the world, powerful religion. But they have one their foundation. Kill infidels, Christians and Jews. You've got to get rid of them. You've got to get rid of them if you're going to have your one world religion, because they're going to stand for Christ. So he must get rid of Jews. He must get rid of Christians. Jews, because whether they believe in Jesus Christ or not, are still part of a racial heritage that God has given them, a kingdom to come, promises, covenants from God. So he's got to get rid of the Jews. And then Christians are obvious. Then look what it says. He will intend to make alterations in times and in law as part of his attempt to rid the world of God and of Jesus Christ. The dictator will attempt to do this in grand style. Now, Part of his deal is going to be to change the whole world order. Let me deal with the changing of times. This doesn't mean change the seasons, obviously. But what this means, people, is it means to change the way time is calculated. Now, you may think, sitting here and thinking, this is weird. How in the world would they ever be able to do this? This has already been attempted in history. If you want to have some fun, go on the internet and look up French Revolution calendar. And you will be shocked what you learn. They, the French Revolutionists, were not only against the aristocrats, but they tried to change the calendar by taking out Sunday. Just taking it out, revamping the whole time. It's an interesting study. And I knew in school, but I looked on the internet just to see if I could give it to you without standing up here reading a lot of stuff with you. Maybe get into a little bit more if we do Daniel. But they wanted to redo. Now, I want to say this. They were doing it in reaction, not necessarily to God and Jesus Christ. They were doing it in reaction to the Roman Catholic Church for its control and rule over the people. So they were rebelling against God as they saw it and understood it through the Roman Church. But what I want you to see is how easy it would be to do that just against God. How easy is it? Well, we sit here and think, well, you can't change time, alteration in time. Yeah, you can. That's just one example. Just change the calendar where you take out Sunday. You take out any ideal of God. And you start the framework of thinking and the way people think. This is happening in our own country, really, even though we still have Sunday. The whole thinking of Sunday, when Jim Passmore was a kid, Sunday was, it was nothing open. Now, Amber doesn't understand this. She couldn't even imagine this. You couldn't get any music or anything on Sunday. You couldn't buy any. Everything was closed. There were just a few places of necessities you could get. Then they started passing what we call blue laws, Amber. And you'd go into stores that would open. Not all would even be allowed to open. But if they were open, they would put sheets over every except what you could buy. There were a few emergencies that you could buy, feminine things and medical things and stuff like that, they would allow you to buy on Sunday. But by and large, everything was closed. Just couldn't buy it. So, and now, even if you didn't go to church or anything, you just knew this was Sunday go-to-meeting day. This is your Sunday go-to-meeting close. And even if you weren't a Christian or anything, you just knew this was God's day. But today, it's not really put apart anymore. But there's still a mass of Americans who, regardless of what Sunday, you just get that word and it means church, that type of thing. So I just want to share with you how you can alter times, how easy that would be to do. Now, and in law, what does that mean? Restructure the judicial system. Restructure the entire judicial system on earth. People, can that be done? Just go to your history books. Hitler did this in Germany. He had a judicial system that did not follow the Judeo-Christian judicial format. So you just change your whole judicial system on earth. Get away from the Judeo-Christian format, which our law is based upon. So you take all of that, all Western law. Based on this is going to be so treacherous against women, you can't believe it, what he's going to set up. At first, women around the whole world are going to flock to this man and worship him. He will have such charisma, great intelligence, great power, probably extremely handsome, though it's not given to us. But it will not be long, very short time as far as the 3.5 years are concerned, before they realize what's going on. But only then it'll be too late, ladies. But women are going to flock to this man because he's going to make all the right sounds. Women, every one of you ladies have met that kind of man, makes all the right sounds until you marry him. And then you turn out he's a bum. Okay, that's this guy. Makes all the right sounds. You just flock to him. Do away with God and Christians and Jews. This is our man. And boy, once he gets that full control, women, it's all over. He's going to be a genius. He's going to have a demonic spirit. Satan will give him intelligence. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Let's read verse 26. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. All right, people, what we're doing here, you've read the last chapter now, so don't be in fear. Don't worry. You can't stop it. We cannot stop where history's going. It is headed toward a one-world government. We don't like it. We're against it, but we're not going to stop it. Outside of the rapture, Amber's generation be more and more part of all of this. Nothing she's going to be able to do to stop it. So what do we do inside? We know where it's all going to lead. So there's a peace in our heart, people. There's a peace in our soul. The gospel of peace, Sunday morning. We have a peace in our soul. Our God's in control. It's going to look like the beast is winning. It's going to look like that when Christians are being killed, even before the rapture actually occurs. Things are already going to be in order for all of this. And it's going to look really bad, but we know what's going to happen. So here you have it. He's going to be his kingdom, his judgment, his dominion, annihilated and destroyed forever. Verse 27. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. His kingdom, Jesus Christ, will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. There's that word obey, which means to trust him. Trust him. Now these two verses, 26 and 27, give great hope. I don't want you to ever forget, no matter what you hear, no matter what you hear in the teaching of prophecy, no matter what you see going on in the world, real, I want you to always remember verses 26 and 27. Especially someone, Amber, your youthful age and this type of... This is our hope, people, and all of us. Just don't forget these two verses. It's like we saw, if you remember the first page of the book I gave you on Revelation, do you remember what the very first page said? God wins. God wins. So we can just be at peace in our soul. So we do not want to ever go into fear. And please note that all of this will not happen until Jesus Christ comes the second time. The church will not be here. The church will not bring in this kingdom. It will not be here. It cannot be stopped. Only Jesus Christ can end this. Daniel chapter 8 is another prophecy that deals with the four great empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greek, and Rome. But let's take a look at verse 23, where we have our beast. Verse 23 of Daniel 8. And in the latter period of their rule, now this is talking about the seven nations of the seven-headed dragon ending with Rome 1-2, the ten nations, confederation of the Roman Empire, when the transgressors, remember that word, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will rise insolent and skilled in intrigue. When the transgressors have run their course, that's all of the nations. What have we seen? We've already seen, number one, it starts with Egypt. Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, they're running their course. Greece, Rome, Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persian Empire, the Greeks, and then Rome, well, I left that one. Greece. Oh, Assyria! I left out Assyria, I'm sorry. So we have Egypt, Assyria. Now we got it. Egypt, Assyria, and then the Medo-Persian Empire, and then Greece. Well, I did it again. But anyway, got the seven. All right, let's go. Egypt is number one, then Assyria, Babylon. That's one we left out. Babylon, and then the Medo-Persian Empire, and then Greece, and then Rome won. They will run their course. So look at our verse. So you can follow along with me. In verse 23, when the transgressors have run their course, a king will arise, insolent and skilled in intrigue. That's going to be the seventh head. That's going to be the dictator of the revived Roman Empire in the middle of the trib. Verse 24, and his power will be mighty, but not by his own power. Okay, by whose power will it be? Satan's. God, you got it. Good. By Satan's power. And he will destroy to an extraordinary degree. People, the world has never seen in all its history what will happen at this time. Destroy to an extraordinary degree. As horrible as the Holocaust was, and we see pictures of it, we read about it, as horrible as that was, it won't even compare with what's going to happen here. As horrible as the Spanish Inquisition, where they cut open the wombs of Jewish women that were pregnant and killed the fetus and destroyed as many Jews as they could. The Crusades, they did the same thing. As horrible as all that, look what it says. Extraordinary degree. And with that, and prosper and perform his will, he will destroy mighty men. And that's leaders, mighty leaders, and holy people. Note again, who must be removed? Christians must be removed. Verse 25. It's not going to be a good time for evangelism. Not a lot of people are going to run to believe in Jesus Christ during this time. Verse 25. And through his shrewdness, he will, remember, it's not his, but it's called his, but it's from Satan. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit. Boy, there's nothing like that. Don't ever think you can't be deceived. That's just, if you walk onto a used car lot, like you can't be deceived, you're exactly what the used car lot salesman wants. Just always know you can be deceived. If I taught teenagers, I would teach every teenage girl that. You can be deceived. Be careful. And through his shrewdness, he will cause deceit to succeed by his influence. And he will magnify himself first in his own heart, decide that he is great, and he will destroy many while they are at ease. What does that mean? The King James here has it correct according to the Hebrew. Let me read what it says. Destroy many by means of peace. The word there at ease is peace, shalom. He will destroy many by peace. Now, what does that mean, to destroy many by peace? His deceitful platform and multitudes around the world will run to him and follow him. Let me tell you how you destroy an extraordinary number of people by deceit and by peace. Point one, or the first part. Be so powerful that no one dare resist you. He will use fear of weapons of mass destruction, all these kind of things, nuclear war, to get all nations and all people to surrender to him, and to he will promise peace. And that's why you got those three countries, three nations. He's going to have to destroy them. But it will be in the name of peace. It'll be in the name of peace. But we got to get rid of them. So that's how he's going to do, how to destroy under peace. So right now the world is not quite ready, I don't think, for this. But we're getting close. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. More and more nations develop nuclear weapons, little countries, Syria, Korea, North Korea, all these countries start developing, and the threat of nuclear war looms over the people of the world. They're going to say, something's got to be done. Right now, we're more, they ought to have it, they ought to have it, da-da-da-da. But when more and more nations get it, you can just imagine, Mexico, all of Cuba, all these countries will have nuclear weapons of mass destruction. The world's not going to feel very easy. We need something to happen to take care of all of this. In the name of peace, I'll take care of everything. Oh, okay, we'll follow you. And he'll get rid of all of that. That's how he do it. Secondly, he will destroy many in peace. He will convince the world that there are people who have to be gotten rid of, namely Jews and Christians. People, this is not difficult for us to understand. Just not that long ago in the 20th century, one man convinced an entire nation. An entire nation. People, I don't know if you remember or recall about Germany, but Germany was made up of brilliant minds. It wasn't a nation of klutz. It wasn't a nation of freeloaders. It was a hard-working, brilliant nation in math, science, engineers. And that one man convinced this type of population that Jews need to be destroyed. And we sit here and go, how? People, the Germany was made up of really wonderful people, educated, highly educational system. This is why during the war and after the war, the Allies welcomed many German scientists. Wernher von Braun, just to name one that we all know. But many scientists were welcomed, brilliant minds, better than anywhere on earth. And yet all these people in Germany killed the Jews. Convinced. This one man convinced them. We sit here, how could that happen? It happened. So don't be surprised. It can happen again. And it will happen again. This beast will deceive not a nation. This beast will deceive the whole world that Jews and Christians are the cause of the problem and must be eliminated for the cause of peace. And the world is going to say yes. And if we take something like the Muslims who are already all over the world, they already hate the Jews. They already hate Christians, according to the Quran. They may fake it right now, it's the sake of looking good in places, but a country like Australia knows better. And we ought to know better, but we don't. So in the name of peace, he will destroy many people on earth. Let's continue 25. He will even oppose the prince of princes, Jesus Christ. He will be broken without human agency. Now, this is dramatic. He will personally oppose Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? He's going to be in power when Christ returns at the end of the tribulation. He will be in power and he's going to oppose Jesus Christ. So this is going to take place right at the end of the tribulation when Christ returns. Verse 26. And the vision of the evening and the mornings, which has been told, it's true, but keep the vision secret, for it pertains to many days yet in the future. Now, just for the insight of the impact of this on Daniel, I like the next verse. I really like it. So let's just read it for fun. Verse 27. Then I, Daniel, fell apart. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted. Just exhausted. And sick for days. When he read all of this stuff. Then I got up again and carried on the king's business. But I was astounded at the vision, and there was none to explain it. This just overwhelmed him, the depth of what he had seen. In the few minutes we have left, turn to 2 Thessalonians. Let's just get all this out of the way. 2 Thessalonians. New Testament. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians deals with the rapture, the beginning of the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, some of the end of the tribulation. So let's just quickly read through some of this. Verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, so he's writing to believers. So 2 Thessalonians 2, 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, that's Paul and his team, request you believers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, second advent. So Paul is talking about that Christ is going to come. And our gathering together to him. Verse 2. That you may not be quickly shaken from your composure. See, like Daniel, he was shaken from his composure with all the stuff. That you may not be shaken from your composure, or be disturbed, either by a spirit, that's a false spirit, not the Holy Spirit, spirit of Satan, or a message, or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. People, they're charlatans all through church history, and there's going to be a lot more as we get closer. You just gotta. That's why it's so important to know how to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. So it's kind of like walking like the old horse with the shades over his eyes, so he's not distracted by the traffic and by other things that were going on. And that's why we want to be with the Holy Spirit, so we keep our eyes focused. So we have seen that there are different views of the day of the Lord. See what it says? Until the day of the Lord comes. And we've already studied the day of the Lord a long time ago. In some respects, the day of the Lord begins with the rapture of the church and continues through the millennium. However, it strongly appears from Daniel 9:27, the day of the Lord will officially begin with the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, the beast out of the sea, signs a covenant with the false prophet, the leader of Israel, to put the statue of abomination in the temple and be worshipped. That's why you'll run into people, and I have no problem with them, who believe that the rapture of the church doesn't happen until middle of the tribulation. And I have no problem with that, if that's what they want to believe. I think there's too many problems with it in the text, but there's nothing lost or gained there. Now, verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you. There's that word. And how are we not deceived? Walking in the Spirit, letting the Spirit open up Scripture to us so that we won't be deceived. In other words, if you know the truth, you'll not be deceived, or you have a better chance of not being deceived by the lie. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first. What's the apostasy? Universal rejection of Jesus Christ. Get rid of Jesus Christ, Christians and Jews. Get rid of all of that. And the man of lawlessness is revealed. Now you remember that in Revelation, he will attempt to, or in Daniel, he will attempt to change the laws. And the more law you have, the more you increase lawlessness. So be sure we understand what's happening. He will have his own law. You can't believe the law structure under Adolf Hitler in Germany. Just watch the History Channel, because they show you actual, they don't just talk about it, they show you the shots and film. And the more law you have, you increase lawlessness. So this is what happens. And then it says, the son of destruction. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He's called the son of Satan. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God. Now that's what we saw in Revelation 13. That's what we saw in our reading of Daniel. And now you have it again. There are some common things that I want in your mind. Without a lot of giving you 20 points and all of that, I want you to just be able to think your way through this whole period and this man. So, above every so-called God. So this is his speaking out against God that we read in Revelation and in Daniel. Or object of worship. So that, okay, here's your reason for his opposing God, bringing Christ down, bringing God down, and getting rid of believers. So that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So you get rid of God, you bring yourself up, and you're God. And the masses are going to buy into this religion. It's going to be unbelievable. So this is a picture, and I'm really sorry to say this, what you just read, putting the temple, the seat up in the temple of God, this gives you the condition of Israel at the time in the Second Advent. It's really sad. It's sad the condition of Germans during the time of Adolf Hitler and what they allowed to happen. That's sad. This is sad of what the Jew, where the Jews are going to be, how far away from the truth they're going to be. But it's reality. Now, not all Jews, of course. Going to be a number of them that are going to go leave in the middle of the tribulation and go to Petra or wherever it is they're going to go. So this is all, when he puts up this statue of abomination, his statue to be worshipped. This lets you know his objective. Why the Temple of Israel? Why not somewhere in Rome, somewhere in Washington, D.C., somewhere in Geneva, somewhere, some big place? Why not there? No, where God is worshipped. Where God is worshipped. That's where he wants this. That's where he wants this. It's powerful stuff we've seen going on. And he's going to pull it all off. And the world will believe him, believe that he is God. I know I'm pressed for time, but let me just share with you. Alexander the Great made his way over, and he's going over in toward India. And a mouth, this advisor with him, who just was always stroking him, and that's always dangerous to have somebody to just tell you lies how great you are. But he convinced Alexander the Great that he was God. So Alexander the Great walked out of the tent. Now, what was happening, it's a true story. On the left side were all of his Greek armies, Macedonian armies. And on the right were the combination of all the people and armies that he had gathered along the way. And he walked out, and he presented himself as God. You can't believe everyone over here bowed down immediately. I mean, just fell to the ground. This group over here, they just started laughing because they thought he was joking. They knew better. And they just thought it was sort of funny. And so Alexander, as his story goes, winked. Now, I don't know if that's part true, but he said to wink that. But he walked inside. He just turned around and walked inside, took a sword, and killed the man that convinced him he was God. Because his old army didn't buy it. But this man will believe that he is God. And he will present himself as God. And the world will sit down, fall down, and worship before him. He's going to pull it off. And, of course, he has help right now, even from Christians who talk about, well, we're all God, and not the New Age and Christians. We're all God. There's no really a supreme God. We're all God. All this type of thing. And they believe all of this stuff. So, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. The more you move away from truth, the more you set yourself up for deception. The more you move away from truth, the more you set yourself up to be deceived. A young lady, so much in our society, absolutely gorgeous, and told that she's the most beautiful thing in the world, and she believes it, and then she's a sucker. She's deceived by money, by men, by people, and then one day she's miserable because she believed it. The closer you stay to truth, the better you have of not being deceived. Now, before the day of the Lord can officially begin, until the apostasy comes first, the man of lawlessness is revealed, but this cannot happen until the restrainer is removed. We'll see that later in Thessalonians. The restrainer, that's the Holy Spirit. So it looks something like this, people, very quickly. You have the rapture, the removal of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. He'll still function on earth, but not like he does now inside of every believer and keeping the world intact right now. We need to give thanks for the Spirit, what he's doing in the world today. So you have the rapture, the removal of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. Apostasy sets in, and apostasy is a mass rejection of Jesus Christ and of God. And then the man of lawlessness can be revealed. Rapture, removal, apostasy, revealing. Those are the four things that are going to happen. Rapture occurs, removal of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit, apostasy on earth, and then the revealing of the man of lawlessness. And with this, the day of the Lord will begin great intensity as far as the tribulation is concerned. Quickly read verse 5. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? No, we forgot. And you know, it didn't say that. And you know what restrains him now, What restrains him now? The Holy Spirit. So that in his time he may be revealed. But the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, even in Paul's time. Only he who now restrains, the Holy Spirit, will do so until he, the restrainer, Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one who's coming, that's the beast, that's the dictator of the Antichrist, is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. These are the words that are used in reference to Jesus Christ. So Satan again is going to tempt it. Verse 10, and we'll close with this. And with all the deception, there's that word again, of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And we need to correct that just like we did last week in another important passage and dealing with the love of Christ and believing in Christ as Savior. Okay, we have Revelation in your notes. You put Revelation 13, 1 through 10. You got Daniel 7 and 8. And you got 2 Thessalonians 2. And you put those together, and you just, the more you read, the more you get a feel of how this is going to go in the second half of the tribulation. Well, next week we'll get back to Revelation 13, 5, and try to get through the first half before I leave for Africa. So, yes. Two answers to that. The first answer is, Eve, to us it's a long time. To God, it's a wink. To human history, this is just a long time. Remember we read Habakkuk? How long? How long are you going to do this? Why? And to God, this isn't long. And in that same answer, and I come to another one, but in that same answer, you can talk to Jim Passmore after class, and he'll tell you, time's fast. Boy, I mean, it's going fast. Choom, choom, choom. It's not slow. My goodness, you mean I'm already this age? Wow, just yesterday, you know. So, it seems like a long time. But even if we look at 2,000 years of history, it's gone fast. The whole 2,000 years of the church, gone. So, in respect to that, why so long? It's not long. Number two, to give us a time to believe in him. To give everyone a chance to believe, the opportunity. Will you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? And then for those who believe, will you walk by faith in the Spirit? Will you make him the center of your life? That you can exalt him, glorify him in your lifetime. So, got these kinds of reasons why this is going on. But it gives us a wonderful time to, as we saw last week, you got all these inventions, the satellites, TV, and all these type of things, and been going on. But all of this is for one reason, that the whole world can see the dictator of the Divided Roman Empire, hear his speeches, see him on the TVs and all mass screens and everything, and follow him, and then see Jesus Christ come back. You and I get the privilege of enjoying TVs and satellites and cell phones and all this, but it's all going to a greater cause. It's all going to a purpose that's going to be at the end of time, the end of the tribulation. So, it's just beautiful how God is doing all this. But we get the privilege and enjoyment of these things and to walk in the Spirit and glorify Him. Okay? Let's close in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our study tonight, that you opened our eyes to these things. Because while the materials, the time frame, we won't even be here, the confidence, the hope, the joy, a peace that's ours, regardless of what's going on, is so solidified in this study. That if we are near time, near the rapture, if we are, and seeing the things that we see in the world, becoming stirred in our spirit, uncomfortable, troubled in heart, we're put at peace by the gospel of peace. We're put at peace knowing that when you give us the details of the beast, there's always a verse or two, but Jesus Christ is coming and world peace will be established through Him, the Prince of Peace, in the world as in our soul. So Father, we pray that You'll take the things that we've seen and then become a reality in our soul, an impact in our lives and our dealing with our husbands and wives and family and friends and church. That we can live in the flesh now, but we live really in the spiritual. We live really in the eternal right now. With our lives, our marriages, our money, our worship, our everything. It becomes more real that we're in a spiritual kingdom. We praise You, Father. In Your Son's precious name. Amen.